Ooh, nothing like a grown man drinking some strawberry bubblicious drink. It's like right now I kind of look like a waiter that serves sangrias at a Mexican restaurant at a rehearsal dinner, and the bridesmaid will hit on me and be like, "Ooh, I could think of a can you fit in an extra shot for me?" And then I'll be like, sure. And I come out with the boombox playing, take a shot from me. Oh. And that's what Drake's doing right now with the Not Like Us music video. He's taking a lot of shots. Not Like Us. Or is it really You're Not Like Me? And dare I say, I will say, it's kind of odd. It feels like Kendrick is doing some things that goes against what Kendrick's about. Like, he used to be the guy, the very exclusive guy, not showing anything about his private life, anything about his family, not showing his kids' faces. Most people didn't even know what his wife looked like. And now, it's almost like he's making an extra attempt to show them, which is, I guess, great in theory, but I guess, in a weird way, Drake made Kendrick show his family. So yeah, family matters. Yep, and I didn't even know there's a Garfield movie coming out, and Samuel Jackson's in it. Just now, who the fuck ate my lasagna? And also, there's this guy online, and people roast him in the comments because I think the channel's called Dudes Food Dudes Can Cook. And this guy is the laziest motherfuckers ever. All they do is they get a crock pot, they always put raw chicken. They just put two clean pieces of raw chicken. They don't show how they prepared the chicken. They could have just grabbed the chicken out of a pack. They could have washed it off. I don't know if you're supposed to wash off chicken. Because you know what? There's so many. That's the thing. Chicken. How the clean chicken has become the new how to bench press. Like, do you use an arch? Or do you flat? Or do you use little arch? Well, that'll tell you who you want to take home with you tonight. But it's the how do you wash your chicken? How do you clean your chicken? Do you skin it, then wash it? Do you not wash it at all? It's the same with beef. Are you supposed to wash off the beef? Because then you're washing off the nutrients and you're actually spreading any potential pesticides across. I don't know. But these lazy ass people, all they do is they throw raw chicken, they throw raw meat. Then they just put a bunch of canned tomatoes if they're making some type of pasta. They just put some basic ass sauce. Like, then they just put seasonings, right? So this man, not only, he put some traditional salt, pepper, garlic powder, and then he said, it's already when I add a little spice to it. And this man put the equivalent of five chili flakes in there. And these people were roasting the man in the comments. And I'm not even gonna roast him for, stereotypical Europeans, quote unquote, add adhesiveness tongue to the heat. My issue is I think one of the worst things we have done is created convenient inventions like air fryers, like crock pots. Because it has created where people just throw a bunch of shit into a pan and think they're actually worth the shit in the kitchen. I'm sorry, throwing a bunch of shit into a crock pot and saying you made lasagna. I'm sorry, you are not my mom. You did not do it like she did, and does not taste like she did. Your shit is barely edible. it's weird. Like, something doesn't make sense. Like, there's a reason why there's a process to cover the pan. You cook it on both sides. You don't just throw the shit into a crock pot and everything just cooks right. And then when it comes out, all it is just a mushiness of a bunch of shit you put together. Like, it looks exactly like something you just put a bunch of shit and let it sit somewhere for 4 hours. It does not look appetizing. Like, now they're making pasta dishes. Like, they're even so... And they did this thing earlier. They used ramen packets. They used the ramen noodles to make a ramen... Or to make a traditional tomato marinara pasta thing. It's like, you realize, typically use ramen as a cheap alternative or convenience. If you're going to have something sit in a fucking pot for 4 hours anyways, the amount of money you spent on 4 packs of ramen, okay, what is it, 39 cents a piece now with inflation? So we're looking at what, $1.60? You know how much a fucking box of pasta is? $1.25-ish, $1.50, $2 for real fucking pasta. And these lazy bums want to act like they're cooking because they put a bunch of shit in a crock pot. They're getting these hundreds of thousands of views, millions of subscribers, or whatever the fuck. And the real problem with, quote unquote, the culture, as I want to talk about. Because, you know, the problem is that we have let people go about this for too long. And by we, I mean people that look like me. And by that, I don't mean tall, charismatic, and handsome. I mean pasty, waste men, and angsty. And I have a feeling they don't shower either. Speaking of, there's a guy out there that hasn't showered in a month and a half. And he even says, like, you know, I have the privilege because I don't have a girlfriend. I don't have a girlfriend. I don't have friends or family. It's like, damn, it's kind of sad when you put it like that. But he made it like, I don't have to. He's like, I don't have to worry about those inconveniences of having a family. It's like, that's a weird flex. I mean, I get it. There's sometimes you're like, damn, hey, you know what? It would be nice to not have to answer to nobody or anything. And then at the same time, you're like, you know, if the one benefit, if one of the benefits of that would be I just wouldn't have to shower, I don't feel like it's really worth the trade-off, you know? Even though I did come to a conclusion that I feel like I have a 1 in 8 million, like I'm an anomaly genetic. You know, some people, they have the genetic lottery, right? Some people, it's, damn, this guy's 6'8", you know. Oh, damn, this girl, she got the figure of all figures. Go figure. oh, this guy's got a 200 IQ. Like, oh, this guy, you know, he's got the perfect bodybuilding genetics. I think I have one of the few, I think I'm one of the few that I could probably not shower for a month and a half. And I think I would smell just fine, you know, considering circumstances, right? If you were to set a controlled environment where you don't have to do any strenuous activity, you're in a neutral environment, you know, you could put on deodorant, lotion, you know, look, your hair is going to get a little oily, your skin's going to get a little skinny? Probably not. I don't know. Would you actually... I wonder if there'd be a study. Is there like an unconscious chemical that goes to your body? Would you actually burn more fat showering or not showering? Because it's almost like that survival mode. Will your skin start eating at itself, you know? I don't know. They say your skin health is just as important as your digestive health. They say oral and your skin is the two most neglected things that we as humans don't take care of. Meaning, it doesn't mean we don't shower. It doesn't mean we don't brush our teeth. But we don't really take care of our gums. But you know what does take care of our gums? Bubblicious Ghost. Non-sponsor, sponsor of the drink. This could honestly probably be like a cocktail. Honestly. Or as they say, a mocktail. Which, you know, I've never understood the zero alcohol beer or the mocktails where it's, oh, it tastes like alcohol. It's like, but it's not. It's like, oh. Like, could you imagine telling a girl, it feels like a dick inside you. It's like, but it's not. It's like, but it feels like it. It's like, okay. But it doesn't match the, attachment to imagery. Sure. You could serve me something that tastes like Mike's Hard Lemonade. But if you tell me it's not, then I'm going to look at the drink different. Like, so you just serve me shitty ass lemonade? Because no one drinks, 98% of people don't drink alcohol for the quote unquote amazing, what are they called? The notes of the grapes. You know, those expansive wine tasters, they, you know, they take a sip of some simple Pinot and they're like, oh, just the flavor notes. People just be saying generalized shit, the notes of it. Like, what the fuck do you know about flavor notes or notes? It's like, oh, the richness of the aroma. You could tell this was aged for 4.5 years before it was stuck in, you know, some barrel. It's like, you sure? Okay. It's like, oh, you could tell this thing is smooth, but it has a nice crisp. It's like, okay. But yeah. I forgot what the whole point was. But yeah. Benny Woohoo. Welcome to episode 285 of the Off and Beat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host. Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. But most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah, even the little kitties. I don't even think cats, you know, it's weird, like, back in the day, promotion of cats always drinking milk. Now it's like, it's that, like, no one even, like, would suggest that. Like, people, it's like, cats love milk, but now it's, like, known that it's terrible for them to drink milk. Or, like, I can't remember the last time I've seen a cat drink milk. I don't even think, like, they really breastfeed anymore. I think they've even caught on to, like, eh, breastfeeding is for the noobs, you know? But, yeah, recording this on July 6th, I think. Oh, fuck. July 6th, 2024 at 1:34 a.m. Eastern. But, yeah, you know, I don't know what I would do if I went around and saw a kitty with a, what are those called? A baby bottle in their mouth. You know? What if they had kitty formula? Like kitty milk formula. Can you actually give a cat like genuine human breast milk? You know, they used to like, you know, the old American way is feed your golden retriever some Bud Light, you know? Put some beer in the bowl, they'll be alright. I don't know, I didn't even mean the rhyme there. who needs Air Bud when you got Air Bud Wiser? you know, he had to get a nose job. You know, having the basketball hit your nose that fucking much, scoring 40 a game, you know, no one ever talked about Air Bud never got like a fractured fucking nose, you know, because I'm not gonna lie, when I was younger, I had a golden retriever, actually a couple, you know, I think one, well, I had one, no, I had two. Yeah, I had two. See, I'm already losing track. And I want another one. but, you know, you play a little basketball with them, and then, you know, they would, you know, bite a kid's face. You know, we had to put the dog down, but it's cool. You know, even though, fuck you, Jesse. you just had to antagonize the dog. I don't know why you antagonize a dog that's named after a motorcycle and think nothing would fucking happen to you, but, you know, you got what you deserve. And besides, you were snobs anyways. You had a cool basement with some arcade stuff, but your parents were principals. But yet, they didn't know the principle of teaching you ethics. Ironic. sorry. Damn, he's caught some strays. But damn, his face caught a couple strays for a few months after that. But yeah. Only with dogs do we have to put them down, you know? Remember the last time a cat attacked someone? No one ever made a cat be put down. We assume if a cat attacked you, you really did something, right? Cats get the benefit of doubt, but dogs, they're man's best friend, but most neglected at the same time. It's almost like they're the punching bag when all goes to worse. You know, we use them as police force dogs. We're willing to put their lives at risk to, you know, bust someone on the run with their scent and all that stuff going on. But, you know, why not like get a mountain lion as part of like the Air Force or like the police force, you know, train a mountain lion. And I guarantee you, like, dogs, people feel like they may have a chance. You put a mountain lion out there, they done though. But yeah, I don't know. You know, there's this whole thing about ramen. There's this ramen culture. Well, really, I feel like from what I've seen, the ramen craze, it feels like one of those things that it's actually not better in the original place than it is. Sometimes things are better Americanized. Yeah, I know that's probably a bad way of putting it, but you know, it seems like when you go to the source of place, it's too close to bare form, you know, in terms of B-A-R-E, where it's the original form. It's supposed to be, you know, some watery noodles and then some flavoring, and the broth is supposed to overtake it. In America, we accomplish to, instead of putting all the flavor in the broth, let's pour the water out after the noodles are made. And then let's put all the seasonings and stuff and the sauces. So it actually soaks into the noodles. And maybe that's not, you know, the healthiest form. Maybe that's not the original form. Maybe that's not what it was designed for. But, you know, it's like most math equations. They're not actually named after the person or the thing that actually created it. Like, you can look it up. Like, the Pythagorean theorem, the person that created the Pythagorean theorem was actually proving someone who was not the Pythagorean, whoever the fuck Pythagorean is. The quadratic formula, the person who we name it after. They name formulas in math, essentially, when it's anyone that's like Americanized within Western culture, will give them, quote unquote, a name after it, right? Like, they'll name it after their name and honor them. But if it's like, you know, someone who's outside of the Western culture, or like someone who was, you know, 1700s in West Indonesia, they just give it a basic name. It's almost like they don't give them the IP address. So, you know, that's something you look at. I guess you could say, you know, they always say math doesn't discriminate. Well, I guess it does. That's why people don't like it when a Japanese dude gets a $700 million deal, but then he waits to deter the money so he can actually maximize the money. And they're like, wait a minute, that's not fair. He's trying to avoid taxes. It's like, yes. He absolutely is. And just because our dumbass American illiterate asses never thought of doing that, don't blame him. You know, most of the people that create the math equations come from China. But math is a dying art, you know. Math, science, pussy, it's all a dying art. It's all one of those things that we grow up, you know, in school, They always tell you the main things you're ever going to need is English in terms of language. You're going to need math and you're going to need science. Some cases true, some cases not. And really, what you really need is to be able to connect these things to things that you never thought you had to connect it to. Like bra sizes, right? So bra sizes and panties. So I walk past them, 10 for 40, right? First thought is, why the fuck would anyone go to a store expecting to buy 10 items of anything that is not a grocery store? Think about the absurdity. You're like, you know what? I'm going to go inside this small confined store and buy 10 things. It's like, all right. And got me thinking, right? And I had this conversation with the lady. The ladybug. The ladybuggin'. She's a ladybug because, you know, she's always, you know, just hanging there on your hand. And you look like, oh, that's cute. And then she smacks it off and says, stop being a little gnat. But I saw is a promotion. I don't know why they're having a July 4th promotion for panties. You know, I guess you get too drunk and you pee your panties. Then she brought some to my attention. I was like, I went and I was just trying to buy a 5-pack of underwear for, and it was $42 fucking. Which, by the way, guys, if you want any quality underwear, this is why guys buy shitty underwear. It's fucking cheap. Yeah, sure, it may lower your sperm count. Sure, it may make your dick feel all uncomfortable throughout the day. But hey, at least I have more money to fit in those pockets while I'm readjusting myself, you know? But Jesus Christ, if you want any competent underwear to keep your sperm in count, I mean, Jesus. But, brought some of my attention. Like, you know why women would need to buy panties more often? And I'm like, why is that? She said, think about it. What happens to women all the time? Once a month. And I was like, changing their car insurance? Affleck said no. I was like, oh yeah, that thing. It's like, yeah, but you're not, you know, dropping the ketchup bottle in there, you know? It's not Heinz 57 all the time. I was like, I get it, you know. There's more unexpected natural disasters that happen. I get it. But you know, us guys, you know, when you're a hardworking man, when you do shit, when you actually make your lower body do extremities, pause, you know, sometimes underwear gets caught in between the crease. And you know, I'm a good wiper, but you know, as good of a wiper I am, it's like wiper blades. You know, after a while, you know, they start streaking. sometimes they're going streaking. But, you know, that's what the OxyClean's for. Jesus. And, yeah, I was like, okay. I guess that makes sense. But 10 for 40, like, that's just a term. Like, when you break it down, $4 a piece, I'm assuming it's a pretty damn good deal. But at the same time, it's like, if something is $4 to put around your ladies, or your lady lips, I think, as the old folks would say. They say, keep your lady lips tight and everything will be all right. But once you open wide, uh-oh, baby number 5. That's the thing. You ever meet like an older woman? They either have, like, if you meet a woman 45 or older, like right now, they either have one kid and they're divorced, and they have a weird relationship, and then they're out there being a cougar hoe, or they have five kids and doing the same thing. So, and their husband's probably dead from stress, you know, probably how it happened. You know, I wonder if that could be proven. Like, if you could actually prove probable cause of death, that someone, like, let's say you were, this is about to get very intense. You know, I wonder if you could actually, if someone on behalf of someone who died, let's just say of a heart attack, and they could prove it was from the stress of a situation that their partner or their family situation put them through. Could the person or the people that they feel are accountable for that stress, could they be held liable for that person's death and pay for damages? Damn, that'd be pretty fucked up. Just, like, it's like, it's not like she poisoned his drink, you know, she just poisoned his mind with stress every day, you know. That'd be pretty fucked up, though. And that'd be a pretty hard thing to prove, but nowadays, I think anything could be proven or convinced, because a lot of proving stuff in court is just about the power of convincing. Persuasion. There you go. Persuasion. And I should have persuaded myself to not press record tonight. I waited way too long. But you know what? You know what they say? For every Jolly Rancher that needs to be sucked, there's always some on an HR desk ready to be taken. But you know what can never be taken? Employee of the Month awards. I'm not going to say why I said that, but I'm just going to say I said that. Because I'm a two-timer. I'm like Nikola Jokic of, you know, he would want, you know, I won back-to-back MVPs in one day, right? It's like, you know, the whole league, you got the whole media saying, oh, he's not a real MVP, you know, he's not really that good, he puts up numbers, but you know, this other, they always convince that because he doesn't look the part in terms of he's not a physical specimen. It's like, well, that wouldn't be the case for me, but you know. It's like, you know, both being just tall, unassuming, white guys. It's like, winning back-to-back MVPs, it's like, you know. All he does is make his teammates better. People love playing for him. People have nothing but great things to say about them. But, you know, outside noise, the media, jealousy, this, that, and the, oh, he's not that good. Okay. And then here we are with two trophies. So, yeah. Sometimes it'd be your own community that's got things against you, you know? Your own group that's supposed to be your biggest support group. And somehow they become your most anti against you. But yeah, here I am. Here we are, me and Jokic. Same problems, different amount of money. Oh, Jesus. But yeah. Woo-hoo-hoo. Yeah. So, if you buy two houses for the price of one, is it house money? Oh, Jesus. You know, it is odd, though. There's all this financial advice, right, about S&P 500 index, right? Do I know anything about it? Not really. I don't think it's really. It's always, you got to be careful when everyone says the number one way to make money is just put money into this and it will just make money for you. You got to be very careful of just that. Because think about it. Now that these mainstream financial advice have become mainstream, if everyone starts doing it, it's going to have a little bit less value, or even if there's more money into this index fund that a bunch of people are putting in, it's going to minimize what, like, each individual is not going to get as much in return as they really plan to, right? You got to be very careful when these financial quote-unquote experts are all telling you the same thing. Because they're not going to tell you what really, really makes you money, but they're going to tell you to put in the stuff that will make you enough money to make you feel encouraged. But it's not really going to, you know, change your life per se. So, I don't know. I just kind of get tired of seeing all this general financial advice. And people make life decisions based off what some random ass person in Great Britain told them to do, you know. But, I don't know. I am fascinated with, I do notice my algorithm. And it's weird. Sorry about that. I am fascinated with city life, but I don't want to live city life, right? You ever like consuming stuff? You like watching things, but you don't really actually would want to live it, but you find it entertaining? Or you find it would be good in doses, like you would like that rush of living in those certain type of spaces, but you really wouldn't want to deal with that stuff day in and day out, right? I like watching a lot of New York City stuff, right? Like, I like watching people eating food in New York, like people talking about like the New York tourism stuff, kind of local versus tourism. I like watching like people give like kind of like block by block tours of stuff. I just like watching things about New York, right? I think everyone does. It's weird how something that is such a on the spectrum, like New York City is such a small thing. Such a small place, but there's so many, the congestion of per capita, how many people, it's like one of the most densely places to live in the world, right? But that's kind of what makes it exciting. There's so much life in a small area. But it's so damn expensive. And that's kind of like, it's hard to rationalize. Regardless of how much money you make, how great of a living you make. Like, I guess if you were to move there for a job, they're going to pay you enough to supplement what's going on there. But I think sometimes if you're not accustomed to, like, that being normal, even if you're making three times as much, four times as much as rent and stuff, and it's really a better or similar situation as before, it's still like, man, I'm still putting X amount of money for the same thing, you know. It's so weird, the cost of living, the just being okay with just spending crazy amount of money. Like, but I think the fascination with New York City is it still has that allure of, if you're there, you feel like you're within the possibility of some type of hope that is not elsewhere. Even if there's no reason to really be hopeful, because every story of success always starts with, oh, I lived in a dump. I lived with 17 people in a 800 square foot apartment. It's like, did you? You know, you start breaking down a lot of these people's come up stories. You're like, yeah, you did for a couple years, but then, you know, you sold this for a couple hundred thousand. You got your own pad. So you're kind of overselling, you know, whatever. People like to oversell their come up, you know, how much adversity, you know, how much, like, how hard their conditions were. Not saying people didn't have hard conditions, but I think sometimes people exaggerate the length of the hard conditions, right? But, you know, at what point does living a adventurous but directionless and kind of that seeking that dream type of life, is it okay? Like, is there ever an age where it's not okay if you're doing what you enjoy? Or is there an age or there's a time in life where it's like, hey, man, like, You're like 36. You're still sharing an apartment. You're still like, you know, barely getting by. You say you're doing this, but I kind of watch your day by day thing. You're not really putting the time in this. So like, what point in life does it kind of become weird if you're around that? I don't know, you know. I don't think there's ever age where it's ever wrong to continuously pursue what you enjoy, you know, or pursue a belief you have, a dream you have in yourself. I do think there comes a point where you got to learn to become, find a way to have some self-responsibility yourself, and then also make that time to make whatever this other thing is, or accept the fact that there's going to be some things that are not going to be realistic of a way you want to live, and that just comes with the territory if you truly believe in yourself. And I think it's mostly with men that kind of live that type of, like, you know, sometimes there is somewhere you can get too comfortable with just living a comfortable struggle life, that you become comfortable, like, not really caring to upgrade your lifestyle, you know. That is a real thing. Like, here's the thing, like, just because you can live the bro below minimum lifestyle, where you just wake up, go to the gym, work out, you know, go to your bullshit job, come home, you know, do whatever, you know, like, sure, you can get by and do X, Y, and Z. You could save some money, but you're not really, like, taking care of yourself in a lot of ways. Like, you know, there comes a point where you need to find ways to, you can upgrade your life without making a shitload more money. But there's ways you can, like, just manually do things to be better, you know. So, I don't know. It's kind of one of those things where what really is important, you know? Would you rather live a struggle life, quote unquote? Would you rather live below your means, but be where all the action is happening? Or would you rather be pretty comfortable and you have a nice situation, is comfortable, but, you know, it's not really fluent, it's not really, like, active all the time, it's just like, you know, you're relaxing a lot, it's cool, like, you're happy, but you're not really, like, actively in that socially driven, goal driven environment. I think that's the thing, is, like, your environment can truly shape how you kind of, you adapt to your environment. Like, you could be one of the most driven, high-strung, type A person, and then you move to an area that's very, like, open space to other people that are, like, maybe retired, or just people that are more relaxed and not really into achieving greatness every day. They're just, you know, going about their daily lives, enjoy what they do. They like watching this stuff. They go for hikes. They eat granola. You know, they'll eat each other's asses once a month, you know, for, you know, the Mandela effect. And they just enjoy simplicity. And it's not all about reaching your true potential every fucking day, you know. It's great. But if you're not around people with common beliefs, over time, in 90, I would probably say like 97% of cases, you're probably going to just start adapting to being like less and less intense. So it's always easier to bog someone down than it is to ramp someone up. Like, if you put a very laid back person who wants to be more free and fluid, and then you put them in a high stressful environment like a New York City or a, you know, highly populated area that requires, like, always being on your toes, looking around, being active in a way, then that place might like really like overwhelm people. But if they adapt to it and they see it, they're like, oh, this is what I gotta do to survive. You know, human instinct would be like, hey, they may actually have an advantage because they've been on both sides where they can see a bigger picture and they're not just so focused on the next step they're taking to get on the subway, you know? It's got me thinking, you know, if I just had not even the money, but just the freedom, like the true freedom, I think my internal lease in a place, like a city, would be like 3 years max before I would move to another place. What I mean is, like, if every 3 years you had the opportunity to just like fluently move or just go to a place to live for another 3 years, let's just say the government just like, hey, here's $4,000. Whatever you need to move to the next place you want to, we can start you off with a job here and there. Like, what are those places that, like, every 3 years, I think I would pick, like, a contrast to the previous 3 years, just so you could kind of always have that constant of bigger picture, but also active, you know? Because sometimes when you're always looking at the bigger picture, not really focused on what you could be doing the next 10 minutes to make that bigger picture happen. And sometimes when you only focus on what's 10 feet ahead of you, you're not really seeing the bigger picture, you know? So there's this obsession of just drivenness. And I don't know. I think it would be nice to go 3 years without having to use a vehicle and just using subways or city bikes or transportation, taxis and Ubers. But it would cost a shitload of money. But if you have the money, a lot of things are a lot easier, you know. So it's just one of the things I've been thinking about, you know. But, you know, that stuff's really only fun when you have instability, you know. To be honest, when you, like, actually have stability and want stability, all that, like, when you get older, a lot of that stuff is more just like, man, I'm bored, you know, life's not exciting enough, so let me just cause problems, you know, self-sabotage. Let me move where there's the highest crime rate. Let me move where there's the most infrastructural issues, you know. Let me move where there's not a, where affordable housing is at its lowest, you know. Let's move somewhere like that. Let's just see how fun it is, you know. That's what we do. All we do is complain about how unaffordable housing is, how this sucks and that sucks. And then we just want to move to the places when we make enough money that has all those problems because now it's beneficial to us. Yeah. All we want is one thing, and then we just want to do another, you know? It's like they say, there's only three things that are guaranteed in this world. Bitching, complaining, and bitches that complain. I'm kidding. I don't call the ladies that. That's something that other men, I would never say such a thing. But that is some 1980s Yellowstone talk. But hey, as Drake would say, I think it was Drake, right? Shit, what was it that he said? The rest of y'all, blankety blank, bitching. I know bitches, and the worst part is that they ain't all, and none of them are women. So, you know, and we know one person that has the right to speak about if men are bitches or not. It is Drake. Right? Still Drake fan. I will say, though, the thing with Drake, though, going back to Drake, he really is someone that, like, his music is better if you're inebriated in a way. I mean, I guess all music really, like, especially a lot of like music that require instrumentals and beats that are made like, you know, from certain drum sounds and stuff, and the little intro, like you pick up a lot more intricacies when you are either like kind of buzz, really when you're just extremely tired as fuck. Honestly, if you've ever been extremely tired, put on some headphones and like some really good like headphones, studio type of headphones with great bass, and listen to like a slowed down rap song, R&B song, or anything that requires just like any background instrumental that's very detailed, you notice like three times as much shit as if you're just playing the song in a regular setting out loud on a speaker. And Drake, it really has those type of instrumentals, you know, that very moody, very nighttime vibe to a lot of his music, especially his earlier music. But a lot of this music, it's really made to just drown you down. And I really started thinking about this, about a lot of music I listen to. I'm not going to name artists specifically, but I noticed that, like, a lot of this music is really not designed to really make you hyped up, you know. It's not really, even the ones that we deem to be songs that hype us up because they're jumping around, quote unquote, bringing the energy. When you really look at the instrumentals, the cymbals in the backgrounds of the concerts, really like the words they're saying, because it's almost like a hypnotization, you know, when the instrumental doesn't match the lyric tone, where it's like the instrumental is very hyped up, but then all the lyrics about suicide, depression, you know, Xanax, you know, it's all about how sad they feel, how they have all these bad thoughts, and they're like, yeah, yeah, energy, you know. It's like, it doesn't, when the things don't match, our mind knows it doesn't connect. So we're having this battle of emotions of what we're hearing. It's that yin-yang theory when we're listening to something. I know there's actually a term for it, but I don't do research, so I'm just going off feeling. It's only when we listen to something and the lyrics don't match the typical tone of the instrumentals or vice versa, you know, whether it's a very happy instrumental, but a very sad lyrics, or it's a very like, you know, a lighthearted lyrics, but it's a very like sad instrumental, you know. And so it fucks with our mind, and it really is to put our mind in a confusion. So it can seep into our soul, so the lyrics can go into our head, but we're not really processing what they're saying until it gets so stuck in our head that we can't get it out. And then we become hypnotized by their depressing ass lyrics. And then that's why everyone is fucking depressed. There. There's a Clint conspiracy. God, my nose keeps stopping up. God. But yeah. I don't know. I think music is just like uninteresting now. I notice I don't really listen to new music like that. Like, my ideal listen to new music is music that came out like 2 or 3 years prior that I'll randomly happen to start listening to because it's on a playlist or it accidentally comes on. And I'm like, oh, I actually like this song. And that's how I find, quote unquote, new music. Very rarely does like a song come out this year and I'm like listening to it in real time. Like, it takes a while now to actually like get around to music, you know. There's only a few artists that the second they drop, we're just like gonna listen to it no matter what. Most artists, it's like, oh, you know, we'll listen to it by accident or radio, or if it's on one of these streaming playlists, or if it comes on something. But yeah, it's just like there's no real urgency. I think that's a real issue with, you know, kind of how we kind of just operate in society. There's not real any urgency. So there's not really urgency or repercussions if you don't listen to something or watch something. Like, and promotions for a lot of these things suck. Like, I was looking at, because I was thinking about going to, because I know Deadpool versus Wolverine is coming out at the end of July, like the 26th or 27th of July or something like that. And I was actually looking at, you know, let me just see what movies are out now. Because I can't remember the last time I've seen a meaningful commercial for anything out of movie theaters. And I was looking and I was like, I've kind of heard of, all right, there's like A Quiet Place. I thought they've made like five of those fucking movies in the past 6 years. But okay, I guess there's a fucking another one. Oh, there's a Despicable Me 4. Okay. A kid's movie. Gotcha. And I'm looking at these other ones and it's like, okay, there's this 3-hour Kevin Costner film that is basically about, it's almost like a spinoff of Yellowstone, but it's a movie he directed and wrote. And there was a part one that came out at the end of June. And then there's a whole second part, a 3-hour second part in July. I don't even know what the fuck kind of symmetry this is fucking going in. And then there's a fucking Garfield movie. And the only reason why I knew about the Garfield movie is because Tasty Cakes Pecan Swirls has fucking Garfield on the package. I'm like, why the fuck is Garfield all of a sudden sponsoring Pecan Swirls? And then all of a sudden I get home and look at movie times. I'm like, ah, there's a Garfield fucking movie with Chris Pratt and Samuel Jackson. Most random fucking combo in the history of fucking movies. But you know what? Chris Pratt as Garfield makes sense. Not bad. Star-Lord Garfield. Oh, he's the Guardians of the Lasagna Galaxy. Oh, OD-1 Kenobi. Nope. Okay. Just me. But yeah, there's no like real advertisements for movies. And you know, also, here's a little thing I noticed. See, these are the things I notice. Only me, no one else, right? On these posters for these movies, I notice on every single one, they had to specify only in theaters, right? Like typically in an old movie poster, like 6-7 years ago, it would just be like in theaters. And then it's like, okay, if this is like, if the first day it opens in theaters June 16th, it'll probably at least be there a month if it's a decent movie that's getting enough revenue. Sometimes it could be a month and a half, 2 months if it's a movie that's killing it, right? You typically have like a month to go see this movie. Nowadays, they have to specify only in theaters because it's like, hey, this is not going to be out streaming. You can't do both. And then it'll be like 2 months after it's after theaters. It's already in streaming. So it's not really, like, we know all these movies are going to go out and streaming in a couple months. But they have to specify, like, hey, no, you motherfuckers are going to pay only in theaters. And that's where it's like, okay, if it's in theaters, you know, to say it's only in theaters. Just say it's in fucking theaters, you know? If I can't watch anywhere else, then I'll go to the fucking theater. But it kind of makes me feel like you're trying to trap me in the theater, you know? I don't know, you know? It's just that type of thing I notice. I've been on your asses about this. I don't even know how these studios are making money anymore, to be honest. Like, there's no way there's actors getting paid $30 million a movie anymore. Like, no one, like, I cannot remember the last time. I mean, I know when I've been to theaters, but like, last time I went to a theater with a friend, I went to see The Northman with my friend Jeffrey. It was a good movie. But it's not like a common thing that people go and see a movie with a friend anymore. Just like, hey, let's go see The Northman. Like, who's going out there to be like, hey, like Wolverine and Deadpool? Yeah, people are going to go see that shit. Like, that's going to be one of those that's going to be a smash. Because compared to every other fucking movie I saw on the website that they were showing, it was a lot of like, why the fuck would anyone see this movie called Maxime about a fucking adult film star from the 1980s trying to do some social, I don't even know what the fuck it was, but it's like, it does not, like, if you're at, like, who the fuck is gonna see that? Like, hey, we were gonna see, you know, there was a Bad Boys 2 for Life with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence is out. Apparently, Will Smith has a song, but who the fuck is going to see this Maxime over Bad Boys 2 for Life? That's also the thing. It's very top, like, there's not a good top to bottom roster of quality movies at a given time. It's always like the big motherfucker every couple months, whether it's an Avengers movie or just a big movie that people are like, this is the movie everyone's got to watch. There may be a second movie that's like kid friendly, like a Despicable Me or Garfield that like the kids will go see. And then after that, as Sharktail will say, there's 50 feet. There's 50 feet of well shit. And then there's you. That's all the other movies, you know. But yeah, I don't know. I guess the moral of all that is. Just wait till Deadpool and Wolverine come out. I kind of want to see Garfield, though. I like the old Garfield movie with Bill Murray when he was Garfield. They say he was a pain in the ass to deal with. I don't know how someone would be a pain in the ass being in a booth doing a voiceover of Garfield, but, you know, like, hey, you know, when he's shitting on Obi, be a little bit more deceptive, you know. Be more of an asshole. It's weird those Garfield movies were, like, shitted on. Like, critically shitted on. But when I was a kid, watching that shit, I was like, this shit's fucking hilarious as fuck. It's like, even if I were watching now, it'd be like, you know what? It's a pretty decent movie. But for some reason, these critics gotta fuck it all up. Like, oh, the plot line doesn't match. It's a fucking movie about an orange cat. You know? Going through an adventures with a fucking dog. Like, the cat speaks perfect English, but the dog doesn't. You know. Of course there's going to be miscommunication. You know. The cat's animated CGI. The dog's just a fucking dog. And then they're going to focus on John, his owner, falling in love. Like, of course the plot line doesn't make sense. It's a fucking movie about Garfield eating lasagna. But yeah, all right, I think that's it for this episode, and you know, if you make it through this one, trust me, there may be a special episode coming next, maybe a podcast history, well, often beat history, something I've been trying to make happen for years. It might actually happen. Stay tuned. Bam, bam, bam. Jesus, I'm so off right now. So off and beat, episode 285. I think I said 286 earlier. This is 285. But yeah, that was episode 285 of the Off and Beat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification button. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. And yep, yep, yep. Hey, Red Bar, shit on my show. Yep, yep, yep. All right. Have a great day, morning, night, evening, and tell Shania Twain, this is God's country. All right.